So let's begin. Okay, Tim. What is matzah?
I'm not going to finish.
What can you tell me about matzah?
The bread of affliction.
What can you tell me about matzah?
It doesn't have a yeast in. It hasn't risen. It's only been cooking for 18 minutes.
Okay, and what can you guys tell me about the history of matzah?
We ate it in Egypt. And we ate it on the way out from Egypt.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Welcome on. Okay. So now, let's begin. You guys already had classes. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, at least you listen. You know it. Very good. Okay. So, let's begin. What is matzah? The Torah tells us we have a mitzvah on the first night of Pesach to eat matzah. And the rest of Pesach, you want to eat matzah, very good. You don't want to eat matzah, okay. But on the first night of Pesach, we have a mitzvah to eat matzah, right? You guys know kahadei shur chatz, yeah? So what do we say? Mahagid roch tzah. You wash your hands and then motzi. You make the blessing of hamotzi and matzah. Motzi matzah is really two things. It's hamotzi and then you make the blessing. Baruch atah Hashem lokeinu melech olam. Blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the world. Asher kiddushon mitzvosav, gave us holiness in his mitzvot. V'tzivanu, God commanded us, alachilas matzah, eating the matzah. So we have a commandment, we have a biblical commandment to eat matzah the first night of Pesach, right? Simple so far, yes? So now what is matzah? So you guys said unleavened bread. So let's define it a little bit better. Your definition is very good, but we have to define what bread means, right? So the Torah tells us don't eat chametz, do eat matzah. What is chametz?
Leaven.
Bread that's been cooked for 18 minutes.
Okay, so chametz is when you take flour from one of the five grains, combine it with water, and then let it ferment. The fermentation that the five grains have with water is called chimutz, that fermentation process. And then after 18 minutes, you guys are right in what you said, then we say it has become chametz, it has fermented. Yeah, you guys with me? What happens if you take rice flour and you mix it with water and you let it sit for 18 minutes? So rice is not one of the five grains. It will have a process that is similar to fermentation. In halacha, we say that is siruach. That is a different type of process. In halacha, it's called siruach. It is similar to fermentation, but it's not chimutz. It doesn't become chametz. So theoretically, technically, you could take rice flour, at least if you're Sephardi, right? If you don't worry about kitniot. So then, technically, biblically, you could take rice flour, make yourself bread, and have rice bread all of Pesach. Now, the things that cannot become chametz also cannot become matzah. Meaning, in order for something to be matzah, it has to be something that potentially could be chametz. Right? That's an interesting philosophical concept. So what can become chametz? What did we just say? What can become chametz? What? The five grains. What are the five grains? Oh. So we have the five grains. So the five grains can become chametz. Those same five grains are the grains from which we can make matzah. Yeah? Okay. So now let's begin. The Torah tells us, Ushmartem et matzos. Watch the matzos. What are we watching them from? What do you say, Tim? What are we watching them from?
The process of putting water in until it comes out the oven.
What are we watching? It says, watch those matzahs. What are you watching?
Until they make sure they don't rise.
Oh, so you're saying make sure they don't become chametz. But the Torah tells me I have to eat matzah. If it becomes chametz, it's not matzah, right?
Yeah.
So why does the Torah have to tell me watch those matzahs? Every mitzvah, the Torah tells me, I have a mezuzah, I have to watch the mezuzah. Don't shave with a razor. I have to watch not to shave with a razor. Every mitzvah I have to perform. What does it mean, watch?
This is very specific, because if you go a minute or behind or like past a certain deadline, then you're not allowed to use it.
Very nice. You got to tell your parents to listen to this class online. Zach is with it this morning. Zach is saying that because matzah is a complex mitzvah, so the Torah has to tell us to watch it. But what the truth is that there are different opinions as to why the Torah told us to watch it. One opinion is what Zach said, that we have to be extra careful. Another opinion is that you have to watch it more than you'd watch any other mitzvah. We're going to discuss from what point do we start watching that it shouldn't ferment. You're assuming it's from when it becomes flour and water. We watch it from the time of harvest or earlier or later. We'll discuss that in a minute. And there's another opinion that says we have to watch it for the sake of the mitzvah. You guys ever been to a matzah factory?
No.
So Bezrat Hashem, I think today you guys are going. I don't know if today or next week. They were discussing when they'll be. I don't know. What are you going to see when you go to the matzah factory? You'll see them bake matzahs, handmade matzahs. And you'll see all the people saying over and over again, L'shem matzot mitzvah. What does that mean? L'shem, for the sake of matzahs that will be used for the mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Oh, excellent. The mitzvah of eating matzahs on the Seder night. We said any other night you eat matzah, okay, fine. The Seder night we have a special mitzvah to eat it. So now let's begin. We begin with harvesting the wheat. We need to make flour. So when we harvest the wheat, we are concerned that if the wheat kernels become fully ripe and yellow in the field, so then when it rains on them, on these fully ripe wheat kernels, then the fermentation process can begin, even though it's not yet made into flour. But a wheat kernel that's wet, now that it's fully ripe and it's ready to be harvested, so then we are concerned that the fermentation process might begin. So what we do is we harvest the wheat while it's still green. Meaning matzah flour is flour that was made from wheat that was not yet fully ripe, when it was still a little bit green. You guys see that? Okay, step number one. We harvest the wheat kernels. Now, we want to make the wheat kernels into flour. So what do? We watch it from the time it was harvested. When you go to buy your matzahs, you'll see it'll say, we say shmura matzah, right? You guys know, heard the term shmura matzah? What does it mean? Matzah that was watched. From what point? So the best is matzah that was watched from the time it was harvested. You'll see it'll say shmura mishat k'tzira. Watched from the time of harvest. That means from that moment onward, they ensured that no water came in contact with the kernels until we actually made the dough. And here you see a rabbi coming to the field. Before they harvest it, they check that they're really dry. Meaning, if it rained 2 days earlier, we don't want to harvest it yet. We want to dry in the sun, but not yet fully ripen. So they check it, they see how it's growing, and then they harvest. Now you have the kernels of wheat here, after you've separated them. And the kernels of wheat sometimes have worms in them. So they have a special machine over here that checks them for wormy kernels. We have to check food. What do you guys eat for maror?
Lettuce or parsley.
Oh, so if you're going to eat lettuce or romaine lettuce, romaine lettuce has many, many bugs. In Israel, they have gush katif lettuce. They have lettuce that it's bug-free. But if you just buy a head of lettuce in the marketplace, very often there are bugs. Now, you don't see those bugs because you're not used to looking for them. But if you'd look, it's not something you need a microscope to see. They're just green. They're the same color as the leaves, so you don't see them. So that's why if one wants the lettuce, one should get the lettuce that's pre-checked. So here they have a special machine nowadays. They invented this machine that checks all the kernels for worms. Now this part of the process you guys aren't going to see. We're not taking you to a grinding plane. Now, what does this sign up here say? Can you guys see it? Oh, L'shem Matzot Mitzvah. This guy is hand grinding the kernels so for the sake of the mitzvah.
Similar thing that we saw when we went to the
Right. Tefillin have to be made for the sake of the mitzvah. So too matzahs have to be made for the sake of the mitzvah. So this guy that's grinding it, he says at the beginning of his work, I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. You guys ever make tzitzit? No, you want to make tzitzit? So talk to Israel. Maybe Sunday we'll make tzitzit together. Okay, after class, guys, talk to him. You don't have to do it with me, but you guys should make tzitzit. You know how to make tzitzit. So tzitzit is another mitzvah that we do throughout. We do it for the sake of the mitzvah. Now, the fermentation process, Chazal understood how it works. And they told us that when something's hot, it ferments more quickly than something that's cool. So we're going to try to ensure that the whole process of making the matzahs is done in a cool fashion up until the cooking, right? That's why the room where you have the oven is always a separate room. It's not the same room in which you knead the dough and prepare it. We keep the water cool. We keep the flour cool. we want to keep everything cool. So the first step in keeping everything cool is that we don't pile the bags of kernels one on top of the other. Because if you have bags piled on top of the other, so they're going to heat up and then they retain their heat. So here you see, we could stand them up one next to another, but we don't pile the kernels one on top of the other. When we make flour, here you see, if it's one on top of the other, we got a problem. So we keep them standing. We don't keep them one lying on top of the other. Because then it'll retain heat. It heats up, and then when you, sometimes things even sweat. So I didn't understand this until I checked like piles of, if you have at home, piles of covers and stuff. What?
It's like one of the things, if you see it, then it makes a lot of sense.
Right. But here we're learning the concepts. We have pictures. Now, when we grind the kernels into flour, so the same thing. We keep them separate, and we also keep them elevated. In case some water spills, it won't hit the sacks of flour. All the flour is elevated. It's on top of platforms. Now, flour here in Israel has to be sifted. I don't know what the deal is in England, but here in Israel, flour has worms sometimes. So they sift the flour. The flour here... What? Correct, because there's the worm that affects the kernels, and then there's the worms that affect the flour. It's two different worms. When we make matzah, we want to make it in a way that we can control it, that we can knead it. Technically, if one took a piece of flour, a little bit of flour, a little bit of water, put them together and kneaded them, you can knead it all day and it won't become chametz. Technically, we say so long as you're working the dough does not ferment. When we say 18 minutes, right, it's 18 minutes that the dough hasn't been worked with. But technically, dry halacha, the Mishnah even discusses that you, if you're in the middle of making matzah and the oven's taken, you can't put the matzah in the oven. What do? So you put it in the water so it remains cool and you keep kneading it in the water. This way it remains cool and it's being worked on. So we don't rely on that. We say the whole process has to take under 18 minutes. Nowadays there's a bakery in Moshav Kom in Miyut that does the whole process from flour and water till fully baked in 4 minutes. It's pretty amazing. The place we're taking you guys to, what? I wish if we could get you guys to volunteer in Beit El when they make their matzahs, you'll try it. I always saw the matzah baking and I thought it was very easy. And then I went and volunteered. I tried doing it myself. Boy, did I botch up the matzahs. I pity the guys who ate my matzahs. It seems easy because you're seeing the pros do it. But as hard as I tried.
Can you do that thing with the pizza?
Right. Now, when we make the batter, what size dough do we make? So we try to make no more than 1,200 grams of dough. And you'll see that the idea is that more than that, a single person can't process. If we're going to work the dough, more than that, we're worried you're working one end of the dough, the other end of the dough is heating up. We say up to 1,200 grams you can control. Today, technically, we can make larger pieces of dough because we divide the work among a lot of people, as you'll see. But we still maintain the matzah factories I've seen, the matzah bakeries I've seen, they still make it under 1,200 grams. The machine matzahs, there they don't care. They make huge batters. They make batters that are huge. I mean, they're basically one long batter, but there you have machines working it all the time. So it's not a problem. Now, the second the flour hits the water, the fermentation process begins, right? So we want to keep the flour and water as separate as possible. And for that reason, when we make the dough, we keep the flour on one end and the dough on the other end, and the water on the other end. And they only meet inside the pot where we're going to mix it and make the batter. So once upon a time, the way they did it was, they'd literally have this huge room. On one end of the room, they'd have the water. On the other end of the room, they'd have all the flour. And then in the middle, they'd meet. They'd have a guy get a cup with the flour and a guy get a cup with the water, and they'd mix them in the middle, and then they'd go on processing. Today, we're more sophisticated. We have three rooms. We have the room all the way on the right has a guy, let's say, sitting with the water, and he measures the water. The room all the way on the left has a room with a guy sitting with the flour, and the room in the middle is the guy that kneads the dough. They have a window to the room in the middle. The guy in the room in the middle knocks on the window for the flour. They open the window, they pour out the flour, and then they close the window. Then he knocks on the room with the guy with the water, and he pours the water into the flour. Now, the second the water hits...
Was missing on all these windows.
You didn't miss anything, because the timer begins the second the water hits the flour. The second the water hits the flour, that's when the 18 minutes begin. From that moment on, we're pressured for time. Now, we say that the 18 minutes that were allotted is provided that you have fresh flour and fresh water. What would happen if you have an old piece of dough that goes in with the flour and water? Now, that old piece has been fermenting. So when one piece is fermented, it causes the others to ferment more quickly. So therefore, we're extra careful that center, you see this pot, that center pot where they pour the flour. Here you can see this guy's pouring in the flour. From this window, this guy's ready with the water. He's going to pour in the water. Where is he? Here. He pours in the water. He's waiting by the window. He pours in the water onto the flour. You should just know, I did this year when I baked my own matzahs. Yeah, you have to know how to pour it. I poured it like splash. And the guy says, no, what'd you do? I didn't know. You're supposed to pour it gently on the other side and let the guy mix the flour in the water. I thought, pour it all over the flour. I messed up his batter. But it was my batter. I ended up buying those matzahs. That's why they honored me with pouring the water there. But so if they honor, I don't think they'll honor you with that. But they measure. Here you see they measure the water. They measure the flour. Now, the flour, we said, was sifted, and we said the center pot, we want to make sure there's no old dough in it. So if there's any, it's hard work, yeah. If there's any crevice, if there's any crack in this pot, we can't use it. Because we say some old dough could get stuck in that crack, and then when you make the new dough, it'll go out, it'll stick to the new dough, and it'll cause it to ferment more quickly. So we're extra careful. You'll see everything they work with is stainless steel today. We're extra careful that every instrument that's used has no cracks. No flour can get caught in it. No dough can get caught in it. The only thing that's really wood is the poles on which they stick it into the oven. Because that, if it's going to be metal, that'll be boiling hot. And even that, they wrap it with paper. Every time they use disposable paper. To ensure that no dough could get caught in it. When I was a kid, they didn't have these disposable paper wrappings. And rolling pins were also made of wood. And every time they'd finish making one batch of matzah, they'd send it back to us kids, and we'd sand paper down the wooden rolling pins and the wooden poles they take the matzahs into the oven with. But today we have an easier way. The rolling pins are made of stainless steel, and the stick that you take the matzahs into the oven with, they wrap with disposable paper. Okay, so here you see this pot. He's knocked on his window. He pours out the flour, and then this guy prepares the water. Now, we want to make sure that there are no crumbs in the water. I don't know if you guys know, now that there's a water shortage in Israel, so we're using the bottom part of the Kinneret. The bottom part has more rocks and more debris. That's why today, I don't know if you guys noticed, you should look at your water before you drink it. There are pieces in the water very often. So we want to ensure there are no pieces. We put a filter. We put a cloth over the spout that the water is going to come out of. Now, we said that
how new is this book?
2-3 years old. We want to ensure that the flour is cool. We said once things are warmed up, then they ferment more quickly. So how do we keep the water cool? We have a special concept. We call it Mayim Shelanu. You heard of the concept? What does Shelanu mean? Oh, that's one understanding. Shelanu means belongs to us, but that's not the concept we're referring to here. Here we're referring to the concept She, that. Lanu. What does lanu mean? Lan? That's a hard word. I'll be surprised if you guys know it. Lanu is that they slept overnight. The idea is we take them out of their source. Lan is to sleep. That we give them an overnight period in a cool area. Meaning we don't leave them in the stream. We draw the water. We take out the water even from the faucet. Because you don't know. Maybe the pots, the pipes are hot. So we take out the water from the stream. The night before, we draw the water. Nowadays, we fill it in vents. When you guys enter the matzah bakery, so you should look. Where is it? Here you see they're drawing from the stream just for the show. But you should look. Right when you enter, you'll see big vents with water. I don't know where the picture is here. And those vents are water every day, every night, every day beforehand. Here you have the big vents. They fill up the vats. Where we're taking you, they're plastic vats. But you'll also see the filter. You see they cover it with cloth to filter out the water. Okay, so the guy here is kneading the dough. And then once he finishes making it into a batter, they have these special machines nowadays. It's a big pole that's attached to the table, a solid stainless steel pole. They put the batter here and they just mash it around with that. It's really hard work. You'll see the guys working at it, young guys your age, not old guys like me. They're all kneading the dough. It's tough work. So after he makes the initial batter, they knead it until they get it into a rolled piece of dough like this. They slice the rolled batter. It's like one long cake. They slice it into pieces. Each of these pieces is going to become a matzah. Then they pass it to the people with the rolling pins, and the people start rolling out the matzahs. And they pass it on, meaning you have the initial roller, and then you have the final rollers. After you've rolled out the matzahs, it's very thin. Now, we're all Ashkenazim here, right? No Sephardim. The ancient custom was that you could have matzahs like pita. We took on a stringency, we Ashkenazim, that our matzahs are thin to make sure that there's no room for anything to ferment in there. We make it paper thin. Our matzahs, I mean, they're really, really thin. It's not as tasty as their matzahs, believe me. The Sephardi and the Yemenite matzahs are delicious. They're easy to eat, and they're like eating pita.
I really like matzah.
Huh?
I really like matzah.
Okay, good. So they roll it thin. You see here the rolling pins are stainless steel, and the table stainless steel. And once they've rolled it thin, they pass it over here to the redlach. Redlach are these rollers that have sharp ends to them, and they make holes in the matzahs. The idea is, when you put a piece of dough into high heat, so then what happens is the heat tries to rise through the dough, and the dough will bubble. How do they make pitas? How do they make that gap inside the pita? What they do is they take thick dough, they put it in the oven, and then the top part heats quickly, the bottom part heats quickly, and the middle blows up a little bit. Meaning there's no... What's the technique? How do you make a pita have an airspace, an air pocket in the middle? You don't. It happens naturally. Because if you have no holes in it, then the heat tries to escape and it forms its own air pocket in the middle. The outside heats up quickly and the inside you have an air pocket. So if we didn't have holes in the matzah would blow up. Now I was responsible for this when I volunteered. I was responsible for making the holes. And it seems like an easy job. You'll see the guys there. They just go like this. Jip, 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 jip. Holes. I was working very hard at it, and I was not successful. My holes didn't go through and through. Like, I'd be standing there, trying and trying and trying, putting all my strength into it. I cut my hands up too, and in spite of all my efforts, the holes didn't go through and through. You think it's paper thin, what's the big deal? It doesn't work that way. You gotta know how to do it so that it doesn't stick to these things. And I did it, but I'm telling you, I botched up the matzah that year. Because I didn't do this well, so the matzahs blew up. When a matzah blows up, so then the inside doesn't bake well. A matzah that blows up, we consider chametz. We cannot use on Pesach. Once the matzah blows up, so that's it. We've disqualified the matzahs. So this is very hard work. Even though you'll see the guys doing it seems very easy. It's really hard work. After they've made the holes in the matzahs, so then they pass it to the next room, where they will put it in the oven. Now we keep the oven in a separate room, because again, we said if this were to heat up, then it would ferment more quickly. That's why we also do it in the shade. We do it in a closed building. If it were under sunlight, then we would have a problem, because that would be heating up the dough. So what wood do we use for the oven? We here in Israel use olive wood. I don't know what they do in America or in England. Olive wood is filled with oil, olive oil, and it's the olive wood. It gives a very good dry heat. It gives a totally different heat than any other type of wood. So when you go to the matzah factories, you'll see piles of olive wood outside. Now here you see they stick in the pole. They roll out the matzahs. You count till about 10 and the matzahs are all baked. You'll see baked, and then they take them out. Here you see the oven, the fire is on the left. Yeah. And the matzahs are baked. They come out of the oven like this. And then you have to look them over. What are we checking for? So we're checking, like we said, that they haven't blown up. We're checking that they haven't folded over. If a matzah folds over, so then we say what happens is you have double thickness. The inside doesn't get baked well. If the inside doesn't get baked well, what do you have? You have dough that's not baked well, which can become chametz. Those are the two major things we're checking for. We don't make it. Machine matzahs are square. We'll get to that. So far we're discussing hand matzahs. You guys see the pictures? Here you see this part wasn't baked well, so they break it off. You break it off, we say this, you just break off a little bit beyond it, and the rest of the matzah is kosher. It depends on what the disqualifying factor is. When you're there, I don't think I'm going with you. Ask to see the matzahs that are not kosher, the problematic matzahs, and then you could eat them. Yeah, then you could eat them. Okay, here you see a folded matzah. And you could already see on the inside that it's not baked that well. When you'll break it open, you'll actually be able to see it. If you break it and you see strings, you know it's not baked well, and then that's chametz already. Now, you can't put it back in the oven, because we say once it was in the heat, we don't know how quickly it ferments and becomes chametz. That's an excellent question. We say once it was taken out of the matzah, once it was in the oven and taken out, you can't put it back in. That's an excellent question.
What's that based on?
What? Because we say once it's in the heat, then it starts fermenting. If it bakes, good. If it didn't bake, it could have become chametz. Meaning you put it in heat, then the fermentation process
becomes...
What? If you took it out too quickly, you can't put it back in again. Right.
But then you'll say it's okay that it's fermenting, but it hasn't finished fermenting, but it can still carry on the fermenting. Like, it's not, the process hasn't...
Oh, so here you've entered a very interesting topic. And that is the question, why do we say that when a matzah bakes, it didn't ferment, right? It has to be in heat in order to bake. And yet, we say if it was in the heat and taken out of the heat and didn't bake, then started fermenting. And it might have even become chametz. So
as long as the matzah is still hot, it's fermenting.
Well, no. After it's baked, it's not fermenting. Baked matzah cannot become chametz. That's it. Never going to be chametz again.
Okay.
Clear?
Well, my problem is, if it's whilst as the object is still hot, the reaction is still going to be going on.
Not necessarily, because baking kills fermentation. If it bakes, it won't ferment. Meaning baking it into matzah ensures that it will never become chametz.
Yeah, okay.
It cannot ferment.
It stops it because
now it's baked. But here, if I have dough that was heated, it was not baked, it fermented. Yeah? Clear? Guys? Tim? Zach? Yeah? Okay. Here, there's always a box next to the baker where they see the pieces of matzah that are disqualified and they throw them inside. Usually they give them to the kids like you who come to visit.
Just a quick question. Why isn't there, like in, when you make a challah, you need to take off some of the...
So we do. We take off challah. There's a biblical mitzvah, take off challah.
But why not of matzah?
We do take off of matzah.
In
the time of the Tanakh, we had to give to the Kohen. Today, that the Kohanim are impure, so we burn it. So you do have to take off challah, yeah. And then they weigh it and sell it and charge a very nice price for it. Here you see how they're cleaning the tables, stainless steel tables. Like we said, they have to make sure there's no crack in the table. If there's a crack in the table, any little crack where dough can get caught, the table cannot be used anymore for...
What's the oven made out of?
The oven is usually made of bricks. Bricks or cement.
And that can't become chametz.
It can become chametz. That's an excellent question. What happens if you have a matzah that became chametz? You have a folded up matzah, let's say. Now that matzah, we say, fermented. It became chametz.
Yeah, but it goes to a certain heat. It then cancels it out.
But that matzah, it was a hot, hot, hot matzah, right? Came fresh out of the oven.
I mean the oven.
Mm. Ah,
the oven,
so...
You don't turn on the oven every time you want to put a matzah in. It's going the whole time.
Right? The oven is going the whole time, but we do say that there can be instances where you had chametz inside that oven. If you had a matzah that blew up and became chametz, so sometimes what we say is that became chametz and it was very hot. So it made the floor of the oven chametz. So what we do then is we take some hot coals from the oven, we put it right there, and we say that burns it out. There can be instances where we'll have to do that. It's a good question. We're not going into all the technicalities, but there can be instances where that happens. And now we have pictures of how machine matzahs work. Now, what is the issue with machine matzahs? The advantages are things are quick, right? They're very, very quick. And things don't heat up. What?
You can produce mass amounts.
You can produce mass amounts.
Why don't you be able to manage machines?
It could come out cheaper, right? But we said matzahs have to be made for the sake of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
A machine can't do anything for the sake of anything. So all the matzah aside from the Seder night, no problem. The matzah for the Seder night, it's questionable. It's an argument whether you could use machine matzah or not. Do we say, well, I'm standing there, I pushed the button, I made the machine start working, and I did it for the sake of the mitzvah? Or do we say, no? Now, there are other issues with the matzah.
The machine didn't turn on by itself.
Right, but my pushing the button caused a myriad of effects. It's not direct, meaning that there are about 500 mechanisms, at least, from so where I push the button to the whole machine. No, it has to be the making of the matzah for the sake of the mitzvah.
Yeah, but because it's very high, it should only ever be used to make matzah.
And then they say that a person has to do one stage of it. So
like
it's
gone, every single stage with different buttons in the machine.
Someone had that idea. You guys are very good, very good. Someone had the idea that Zach just said, that every time the matzah comes to a certain stage, you have to push the button again. So each time you're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah.
That you have to do one of them by yourself, so like you might roll with dough at one stage.
So some want to do what Tim just said. That's what Rabbi Shapiro Zatzal used to do. He would come to the machine and he'd pour in the water. He'd pour in the water, so he'd literally hand start the process, and he'd say, okay, I'm doing that for the sake of the mitzvah. Those are excellent ideas, what you guys are raising. But this is one issue with the machine matzah. There are a few other issues. People claim that the machines aren't cleaned well. I don't know if that's true.
It's
to clean a machine. Another issue is that in the machine matzahs, when they bake it, here you see this huge batter. But we said that's not a problem because you have a huge machine. I mean, it's a batter that's the size of that small room over there. Talking about a huge batter. And then it gets pushed down here, where it's sliced. It's flattened out by these two huge rollers. When I went with Rabbi Shapiro Zatzal 3 years ago, so there all the volunteers were there cleaning the machines, and the kid who was cleaning the machine with the rollers that flatten out the matzahs lost three fingers there. He was cleaning, and the machine caught his fingers and. Two or three fingers, I don't remember.
Does that mean the matzahs won't push?
It was before we had matzahs going through the machine. We were cleaning beforehand. There's one other issue with the machine, and that is that the way it's built is they have a room about the size of this room that's the oven. And the machine matzah, when it goes in, so the oven has graduated heat. Meaning you have in the beginning of the oven one level of heat, and then it heats up slower, slower, slower.
Like a pizza.
Oh. Now, the question is, what was raised earlier, is that maybe if you're putting it in a warm place, and it's going to ferment. So that's what people want to say about it. But I wouldn't worry about it. I eat machine matzahs, and the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, Rav Salant Zatzal, used to eat machine matzahs. And but even within the machine, sometimes egg matzahs is a totally different picture. Yeah, we don't have time to discuss that.
You
shouldn't really eat egg matzahs, right? On Pesach. Now, unless a person is aged or ill, even within machine matzahs, they're delicious. They're delicious. Even within machine matzahs, so you the machine messes up sometimes. It's not perfect. Meaning you have to stand there and watch. Here you see an example of a machine matzah that's...
So then you're doing the mitzvah, so you're watching, and then you can say...
You're watching, but you have to do an action. It's not enough to watch it. Oh, okay, yafe. So that's... here we had a quick overview. Any questions, guys? So let's just summarize what we saw today. We saw that on the night of Pesach, we have to eat matzah for the sake of that was made for the sake of the mitzvah. We said to watch it for the sake of the mitzvah either means extra watching, like Zach said, to watch it all the way from the time of harvesting or from the time of making into flour or from the time that it was started to be kneaded into dough, or else that it's actually watched for the sake of the mitzvah, not only that it was watched extra carefully. We said that we watch that it doesn't become warm or wet. So we harvest it when it's dry, but not yet fully ripe. We said after we harvest it, we don't pile up the kernels one on top of the other so that they don't heat one another up. We don't pile up the flour one top of another so they don't heat up. The water we said we draw the night before, so it's mayim shelanu, it's water that was cooled in the vats overnight, right? And then we said we do the whole process under a roof so that it's not heated up by the sun and in a separate room from the oven. We take the flour and water, mix them into batter. You remember, two separate rooms, one for the flour, one for the water. And then when we mix it, we said we use a vessel that has no cracks, so there's no leftover dough. What flour can we use? We said from the five species. Anything that can become chametz can become matzah. We knead it, and then we work it, and we make the holes, and then we put it in the oven. You guys with me? Okay. We said Sfardim eat soft matzah. Ashkenazim have to have thin, hard matzah. We said if the matzah blows up, then it might have fermented inside, and then we disqualify that matzah. Or it's same thing if it got folded over. That's a quick overview of what we saw today. You guys have sheets here that summarize the halachot in short. And Bezrat Hashem this afternoon, you'll be at the matzah bakery.